Ginger OTR Mobile.
Yo, Mobile.
Hi, Jim. Let me turn my radio down. Ginger OTR Mobile.
KO4LEO. How are you, Tom?
Just been down at the downtown airport. Grandson went up for a flight in a, looked like a Piper Comanche or something. And he was 14 years old. And tomorrow I'll turn 57 and dyslexic.
I've been missing something there, if that was the right number.
Well, I am 47 today. You know what, we got an excuse though. We're old though, Jim. And get them numbers reversed. Well, Bernice had a stroke in her eye this week, and thank God we got her home yesterday, and she actually got to go down there with me today, and she's doing fine. She had a piece of plaque break off of the carotid artery and went up and hit her right eye and totally occluded it for a while, but she's gaining some of it back.
Not that, but I'm glad to hear she's recovering.
The specialist said, give you no hope for that, but about an hour later, she started seeing peripherally, and we've been in the hospital five days, I guess, Bernice, something like that. And it was pretty touch and go there for a while. I was worried about more strokes, and I can't say enough. Prisma Health done an excellent job. When she got out of the surgery, they had a little nurse sitting with her within reach of her for 6 hours watching her. And they just totally did a good job, Jim. We thank the good Lord and thank Prisma Health and all the doctors and that, too.
It's great news. I'm sorry. Sorry she had to go through that, but sounds like you've got things well in hand there. I was going to say, before you told me about Bernice, I did the same thing for my grandson last Saturday, or Sunday, actually. Took him out to Spartanburg Airport and let him get a flight with one of the instructors out there.
Our kids did that for me down here one time, and I went up in one of the Sirius planes, you know, the ones that some of them have parachutes on them. All glass cockpit. It was really a nice plane. I mean, I think $180,000 plane. But boy, they're really busy down there at that downtown airport. I was amazed. And there was even more than 20 passenger or so business jet taking off there. And then I was listening to air traffic here on the radio, and they said the word grooming, and I thought, that's Navy. And he wanted to know where the jet center was, and I think I made a mistake, and I think he landed at Donelson. But when it said Grumman, they made a lot of our planes.
Funny. And another one was Vought, the aircraft company that did a lot of work for the Navy as well.
Yeah, the Crusader, the Kent's Vought, I think it was.
A new movie that's out, trying to think the name of it, but it's about a guy, it's one of the early black Navy aviators, say in the early 1950s, and he has a wingman that turns out to be a Naval Academy graduate, but it's a true story. And it's them flying together during the Korean War.
What was the name of the ones that, when they first started flying in World War II, and they flew the P-51s? I've seen a movie about that, and there was these, I remember these racist white pilots that were saying something about, you know, those guys flying those, the Red Tails, And the black guy says, well, that was us that was flying beside you on the bombing mission protecting you. yeah, what are you going to say now?
I had a chance to meet some of those guys when I was working for a reserve wing in Seymour Johnson. In fact, I think I've got a coin from one of those guys. But if you ever want to do something kind of cool, go down to Walterboro Airport, and that's where those guys did their initial training.
Too heck in there, I'm telling you. It's not one of our more beautiful parts of our history, but it turned out good. And bully for them, that's all I can say. And they were brave warriors up there. That was nice. They developed that P-51 where it could have the drop tanks and stay with them clear flying into Berlin and such, because I don't think that turned out so good. When they had the Flying Fortress, they thought it couldn't be shot down. Well, I think they made a mistake there, didn't they, Jim?
Claimed to have never lost a bomber on a run where they escorted aircraft.
They were really good. I always loved seeing the P-51s up at Oshkosh. Those were nice. My friends that were raised next to us back home in Kansas, they bought six of those Allison ones like they had in the British one, the Spitfire, I think it was. And Cliff Hicks, he put one in a street rod, a V-12. Took the 12-cylinder distributors off of a Jaguar and somehow retrofitted it to fit into that. And took the magnetos out, and it's really something to see. They used those for tractor pulls, and they just bought them to sell. They were still in the crates, V-12s.
Something. It's quite an airplane, that's for sure. Got a chance to, when I was working for the Air Force, I got a chance to sit in the cockpit of one of those. It was named Gunfighter 2. Gunfighter or Gunfighter 2, I can't remember which, but Brigadier General Reg Ursler had been retired from SAC, and he actually owned one of those and had flown his P-51 out to the Commemorative Air Force. It was quite the airplane.
Well, I have a QSL card from a guy that owned his own P-51 out in California, and I talked to him on HF. I don't know if he's in the plane at the time or not. I got quite a few cards from aeronautical mobiles. Not a lot, but, you know, most of them were transport pilots. And it seemed like a lot of them were down along the coast. And I guess they'd get bored and go over to their HF. Now, my nephew, he flew in all the commercial. Oh, everything from MD-80 up to 727, 767, 777, now 787 is what he's in. But he said they had it, but he never did call me on it. But I talked to him in an MD-80 one night over Kansas, going to Alamogordo, Mexico, or someplace, New Mexico. And he turned on the maintenance lights. And he said, walk out in the backyard, Ralph's there, and look up to the northwest towards Chanute. And I looked up there, and Chanute was about 60 miles away. And he turned on the maintenance lights on the bottom of the aircraft, and he was talking to me on a handy-talkie. And I followed him on Simplex with my beam, and that was pretty neat.
Yes. Yeah, that the 777 was quite the airplane. I flew the DC-10-30, and that was a pretty big jet, but the 777 was pretty nice.
The thing about them is they bring the altitude down to around 6,000 instead of 8,000. I guess it's less tiring than jet lag and stuff like that, and the environmental stuff on them is better. You know, as far as I think they bypass 40% for the air, you'd have to tell me. But they don't bypass, or they bypass more fresh air into the cabins. And they're really a great aircraft in a lot of different ways that most people don't even realize. Then they got something that's super secret that's proprietary up on the top of the fuselage. And I can't remember what that's called, but they won't tell you anything about it. Not even Steve. He won't tell me.
That, but the flight engineers ran all that cabin pressure stuff. We didn't, they wouldn't let us touch those knobs and gauges back there.
Yeah, I remember those were in some of the older planes. The flight engineer station was highly complex. Well, Jim, I better let you go. Bernice is here, and she's tired, aren't you, Mom? I'll say hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I need to get her out of here, and she's got about a 4-inch slit in her neck there, and they stitch it underneath and super glue it on top, and she's tired. But I'm really happy that she's home. Best thing that ever happened to me. good to hear you, Jim. I haven't heard you in a while. 73, stop by and see us someday. KO4LAO, N0TR73.
KO4LAO, yeah, all the best to you, Bernice. I'll say some prayers for you tonight, and you guys take care of yourselves. We'll talk to you pretty soon. N0TR, KO4LAO, clear.